Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28. Isaiah, chapter number 28. We began speaking this morning about this agreement that Israel was guilty of, and that we think many times other nations are guilty of the same thing. We want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. As a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty, which is on the head of the fat valley, shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. And that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Here's where the message comes from. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it." That's the first 18 verses of Isaiah 28. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to open the Bible and read the Bible and to study the Bible. And Lord, we pray tonight that, you would help us to conclude, Lord, this message tonight that you birthed in our heart. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just help us all, Lord, not to be like Isaiah's generation, Lord, when so many hardened their heart and they stiffened their neck and they would not hear. But help us, Lord, to be like that remnant in Judah that, Lord, received the words of truth, received the warning from the Lord, And I pray, Lord, tonight for our country. Lord, I know that we're in trouble, much more trouble than $20 trillion, Lord. We're in trouble with the God of heaven. And I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, as a country, Lord, to swallow our pride, to humble ourselves, to seek your face once again, to realize, our Father, where our blessings come from. Lord, you've been good to us. I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, the day would come when we'd see a revival, a turning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just a little bit of review, just a minute or two. This morning we began preaching a message entitled "In Agreement with Hell." We talked about the decisions that we make in our everyday lives, that either we're in agreement with heaven, and the way that we know that we're in agreement with heaven is when the things that we do are in agreement with the Word of God. That is the plumb line. That is the plummet. That is the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Word of God said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so here was a nation that had gotten sidetracked, had gotten off the rails, so to speak, and were kind of like it was in the days of the judges there, when you come down to the end where the Bible said, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And I'll tell you tonight, God will let us do that, but there'll be a payday. I mean, listen, there'll be a payday. Just remember, sin's payday may not be today, but there will be a payday for sin and for rebellion against God. We noticed this morning their condition. We talked about where it said, "Woe to the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim." It talked about they were trodden underfoot. It talked about being swallowed up with wine. They made a covenant with death. They were in agreement with hell. And there was a refuge of lies. That's where they were hiding. They were hiding behind lies. And these were, the Bible said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people," which is in Jerusalem. This is where the leaders were in that day. They were hiding behind a refuge of lies. And so tonight, we go on in the message. We notice their condition. The condition was terrible. It was striking to me how that their condition paralleled so much our condition as a nation today. It was very striking to me. And we looked then at their covenant. They made an agreement with hell. They made a covenant with death. And with hell, they were in agreement. And I tried to challenge us this morning. How do we want to live our lives? How do we want our homes to be? Do we want our home to be in agreement with hell or in agreement with heaven? Do we want our lives and our children to live their lives in agreement with hell or in agreement with heaven? And we went through some issues this morning, and I'll just touch on some of these quickly and go right on. There was a covenant with hell and the social issues of that day. We talk about legalized liquor in our country. You're looking at a preacher that believes that was an agreement with hell. Legalizing marijuana would be an agreement with hell. Legalizing gambling would be an agreement with hell. And legalizing sodomy and pornography, all of that would be in agreement with hell. And they have a saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But I'll say this tonight. The Bible said the day's coming, there'll be nothing covered. There'll be nothing hid. Amen. It's going to come out in the light. And so God wants us to understand that there's a day coming, amen, when the covenant will be broken. Now, tonight, not only when we notice their covenant, they made an agreement with hell in the social issues. Tonight, I want to get to this. There's a covenant with hell in our generation in spiritual issues. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, the Bible declares that in order to go to heaven, you must be born again.
The Bible declares that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible declares that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. Amen. And thereby equal with God. That Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And the Bible said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me say this. When you go away from the gospel of Christ, when you go away from the gospel that's presented in this Bible, I love this old King James Bible. And when you go away from the Word of God, then what you have is another gospel. And any other gospel is not in agreement with heaven. It's in agreement with hell. And the Bible tells us some of those gospels here. They were trying to get them back under the law in the book of Galatians. They were trying to bring them back under bondage. And they were told, Paul told them, the law is your schoolmaster. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is just. The law is holy. The law has its purpose. It's to show us our need of Christ. But going back under the law is not the gospel. And so another gospel. I wrote down some things that the Lord brought them to my mind last night. A gospel of works is another gospel. A gospel of water is another gospel. Did you know that there's being preached the gospel of baptismal regeneration? And the Bible teaches no such thing. Amen. A gospel of works is another gospel. A gospel, my friend, of water is another gospel. And a gospel of wafers is another gospel. There's people thinking because they get something put on their tongue every Sunday that they're going to go to heaven when they leave this world. Honey, God's not looking for what's in our tongue. He's looking for what's on our heart. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ must be applied if we're going to be saved by the grace of God. I believe the true gospel is the gospel of the Savior, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, if it was a work salvation, then, beloved, we could stand and brag on our works. But since it's not a work salvation, we must stand and brag on our Savior that saves old sinners like you and like me. Amen. The Bible talks about it's a gospel of the Savior. It's the gospel of the Scripture. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Say, preacher, I just don't know how you can tell somebody's preaching the gospel or not. I do. If it lines up with this book, they're preaching the gospel. If it doesn't line up with this book, they're not preaching the gospel. It's a gospel of the Savior. It's a gospel of the Scripture. It's a gospel for the sinner. You say, preacher, what do you mean? When Jesus heard it in Mark 2:17, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I tell you, the gospel, beloved, is the greatest news a sinner will ever hear, that somebody loved them and was willing to give his life that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I wrote this down as the Lord dealt with my heart yesterday evening. The right faith will put you on the right foundation. We're going to talk about that foundation in just a moment. The right faith will put you on the right foundation. It'll put you in the right family. It'll put you in the family of God. And it'll put you on your way to the right future. Heaven will be your home when you leave this world. That's what the gospel of Christ will do. Amen. Now I want you to notice something else in the message. We've noticed not only their condition, and we've noticed not only their covenant that they made in agreement with hell, but I want you to notice their consequences. You see, choices have consequences. We're living in a generation that believes you can live in agreement with hell and die and go to heaven. I just don't believe that, folks. Amen. I don't believe you'd even want to go to heaven. If you want to live your life in agreement with hell, why would you want to go to heaven when you die? Amen. I believe with all of my heart. The Bible's teaching there's consequences. The prophet warns the kingdom here, the 10 tribes of Israel, the judgments that are coming for their sin. They're going to be executed by the king of Syria, Assyria. They're going to be brought back in to captivity. And let me say this to you. Listen to me carefully tonight. I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher. But America thinks she's big, and America thinks she's bad. And there was a time when Israel thought, beloved, they could not be defeated. I'll just say this to you tonight. When Israel won, it was because of God. And when Israel lost, it was because they turned their back on God. Amen. I believe it's a dangerous thing, my friend, to assume, listen, that God will protect those that have turned their back on Him and sent Him to the curb. Their country was laid waste. They carried the people into captivity. Beloved, consequences come with the choices that are made. Ephraim had his name. It comes from fruitfulness. Their soil was very fertile. And yet God took away the plenty. You say, preacher, why did you mention $20 trillion a while ago? Because that's a lot of dough. Somebody say amen. And then doubled in the last 8 years. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe, listen, have you ever looked at that debt clock running off? I'm talking about flying, amen. We're getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And there's nobody concerned about the physical debt. But I tell you, we have a spiritual debt to the God of heaven. He's the one that's blessed us. He's the one that's helped us. And if we turn our back on Him, there'll be a price to pay in this generation that we live in. God took away their plenty. They were indulging in sin. They were ruined by sin, and they were under the judgment of an almighty God for their sin. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me, when it first came about, listen carefully, this preacher believed, and I believe many of God's people did, that AIDS would be a judgment of God upon our country. Somewhere or another, they've been able to at least some degree control that. But I thought, boys, that's going to be it. When that gets to running rampant and you've got people in restaurants dripping their blood off in ketchup, amen, listen to me tonight, amen, because it's not bad enough for them to be sick. They want everybody else to be sick too. I'll tell you this tonight. It didn't turn out that way. But I will say this. If America doesn't repent, America will face the judgment of an almighty God. I thank God I'm in that remnant. I thank God, just like the Bible said, there was a residue in verse number 5, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the people, there's a remnant, amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? They made an agreement with hell. Their condition was terrible. Their covenant was awful. They made an agreement with hell. But listen, their consequences. Listen, when they would get under the judgment of God, they'd cry out to God once again. And beloved, then God would deliver them again. And I believe with all of my heart, the God that we serve would deliver us if we would just cry out to Him as a nation. Amen. Notice their consequences. The last thing in the message tonight I want you to notice is their cure. Aren't you glad God has a cure for sin? Amen. The Bible said here, in verse number 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You say, preacher, do you really believe there's a cure for sin? Yes, I do. It's found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I personally think that one of the things that's wrong in our generation is not so much with the sinner, but with the saints. We know the cure. We have the cure. And so many times, we keep that cure to ourselves. I've often thought about how awful it would be if I had cancer. Brother Steve had the cure for cancer, for him to go home and not share that cure with me. I don't have a cancer problem, but I have a sin problem. Everybody has a sin problem, and there's only one cure, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood. The cure can be seen in the Redeemer that is revealed in verse number 16. You say, preacher, what's being revealed here? Faith is being revealed. A foundation is being revealed. Beloved, a promise. The Bible said, he that believeth in him shall not be ashamed, shall not make haste. Amen. Thank God there's a promise to the redeemed. From the Redeemer, he's being revealed. And then not only can the cure be seen in the Redeemer, but the cure can be seen in the remnant that remained. Look in Judah. Look at chapter 29, verse 22 through verse number 23. The Bible said here in chapter 29, verse 22 through verse number 23, therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, then they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. Come back to verse 5 in chapter 28. The Bible said, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Thank God, in every generation, God has not left himself without a witness, but he has a remnant. Amen. In every generation. You know something? We should determine this week, when we go out of the house of God tonight, to live in such a way that someone could see the cure in our lives. Amen. We see here the cure seen in the remnant, seen in the Redeemer. But I want to give you this, and this really spoke to my heart. The cure can be seen in the rest. That was refreshing. Look at chapter 28, verse 9. Down through verse 13, especially verse 12. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. I have a question tonight, closing out the message. In this world that's turned upside down, not as it was in the books of, in the book of Acts. These are they that turned the world upside down with the truth. But this world's turned upside down with lies. We've swallowed a lie on every corner. Amen. Listen, do you have rest? This evening, do you have rest? Is your confidence in your 401? Is your confidence in your company? Is your confidence in your account? Because I tell you tonight, I could never find any rest there, could you? But our confidence tonight is in the one that said, David said, I've never seen, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. I believe tonight God wants us to rest. In the fact, you say, preacher, it's getting worse and worse. Isn't that what he said would happen? We're being set up in this world for the Antichrist. Somebody that can come on the scene, get the money situation, the prosperity under control. Somebody that can come on the scene and promise some peace. And beloved, he'll deliver it for about 3.5 years until the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet Israel's going to realize they've been sold a bill of goods. And honey, in this world, all hell is going to break loose. Tribulation such as never been before. The time of Jacob's trouble. You say, how can you rest in that, preacher? Because I know where I'll be when all that's going on. I'll be with him that loved me and gave himself for me. We're not appointed under wrath, the Bible said, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll read the book of the Revelation, you have the revelation of Christ in chapter number 1, the glorified Christ. You have the church age in chapter 2 and chapter number 3. In chapter 4, the Lord says, come up hither. And beloved, the church, my friend, is not mentioned anymore. You see the 420 elders in glory, and they're not mentioned again until Revelation chapter 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe we'll be with him while this world is rocking and reeling. I believe we'll be with him while men and women in this world are running to the rocks and the mountains and saying, fall on us and hide us. Think about those two words. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Honey, they thought they were hidden. They thought their lies were hidden. And in that day, they'll still be calling out, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Notice their cure. It can be seen in the remnant. It can be seen in the Redeemer. But it can be seen in a rest that was refreshing. Is it not refreshing tonight to be able to watch the news and realize there are things that I see once in a while that still shock me? But I find a lot of rest in thinking about it like this. It doesn't shock him. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we need. And he knows exactly what we're going through. Do you have rest this evening? Or are you living your life in agreement with hell? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. What a question. You see, you can't have rest. The Bible said there is no rest. There saith my God to the wicked. You can't live your life in agreement with hell and have rest. But I tell you what you can do. You can live your life in agreement with heaven and have a rest. A rest here and a rest that remains for the people of God when we get there. I want to think about Daniel down there in the den of lions. I believe he rested that night, don't you? Brother Mays said it kind of in a joking way. Well, I mean, he was preaching and he had a way of saying a lot of things. He said, I believe Daniel said, come here, Leo, I need a pillar. I believe Daniel walked with God. I believe when they threw him in there, that Daniel some way or another knew that the lion had locked jaw and couldn't bite him if he wanted to. Amen. I believe there may have been a grin that come over his face. I believe there was a rest in his life. I believe when the three Hebrew children said, listen, King, we're not going to bow to your image. Our God's able to deliver us. But if not, you need to know we're not going to bow to you, King. They were loose, walking around in the midst of the fire. The only thing that burned was what had them bound, because they bound them and threw them in. And the king said, behold, I see four men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire. I believe somebody untied them, don't you? Honey, I can remember being in bondage, and I know who untied me. I know who set me free. Amen. His name is Jesus. I believe there's a rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let me just say this to you tonight. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I do believe with all of my heart, if America doesn't turn, it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Brother Jim, the thought just come to me about your garden. And you said that you hadn't had much trouble with deer in the garden. And how many's had trouble with deer in the garden? Amen. I mean, they like it, don't you? Just set it out, water it, weed it, keep it good and fresh. Amen. They'll be along after dark to get them some of it. Amen. A raccoon knows when the corn is ripe and when it's not ripe. He won't bother until it gets ripe. He'll go up at and he'll leave you a little cob hanging there on the side. How many knows what I'm talking about? He'll strip it clean. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Something doesn't happen in our country. Somebody said, you better have a seed. You better have something that you can grow a little garden with. Let me tell you this. You'll have to sit at the end of it and guard it. And it won't be guarding it from raccoons. And it won't be guarding it from the deer. How many's listening to me tonight? Honey, if it's as bad as it is right now and they'll kill you over nothing, what are they going to do if they're hungry? What are they going to do if their family's hungry? I'm telling you right now, we need to look to the Lord. We need to lean on the Lord. And we need to walk in agreement with heaven, not in agreement with hell. There's rest in that. Amen.